Would you please stand to honor the reading of this one verse from God's word? This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It's the Apostle Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God's inerrant word. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated. What happened when Jesus died on the cross that leads us to call Good Friday good? What happened on the cross that Friday afternoon over 2,000 years ago that leads us to call this day Good Friday? Well, the answer to that question is the big idea of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. And the big idea is a quote attributed to the great church father, Athanasius. What happened on the cross that makes Good Friday so good? Big idea? Christ became what we are, that we might become what he is. Christ became what we are, that we might become what he is. See, more was happening on that Friday so many years ago than immediately meets the eye. I mean, we see the Lord Jesus arrested by the religious leaders because Jesus claimed to be God, backed it up with miracles, and then the crowd started to follow him. We see the sham of a Roman trial and the crowds yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." We see him wrongly sentenced to death, beaten, mocked, crucified, and crying out with his dying breath, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But there was more going on than meets the eye. On that cross, on that Friday, in his death, Christ became what we are, that we might become what he is. And tonight we're going to take that big idea in two parts. First, Christ became what we are. Then second, that we might become what he is. Christ became what we are, that we might become what he is. So let's look together at what makes Good Friday such glorious news. First, Christ became what we are. Now, I don't want to rush past the first three words in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For our sake. God the Father sent God the Son to become what we are, that we might become what he is for our sake. Slow down and take in the great love of God for the sinners that he sent his Son to save. God did not send his Son to become what we are, that we might become what he is, because he was lonely or because there was some deficiency in him. He did it for our sake because he loves us. As Paul writes to the Roman church, God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God designed the death of his Son for our sake. That's how much he loves us. God sent Christ to become what we are, that we might become what he is for our sake. And so if you are a believer in Christ, no matter what you've done, God loves you more than you'll ever know. Christ became what we are. Or as 2 Corinthians 5:21 puts it, for our sake he made him, that is God the Father, made God the Son, to be sin who knew no sin. Christ became what we are. And we are sinners by nature and choice. We inherited guilt from our father Adam, the first human, and we've all disobeyed and ignored God in the world he created. We are sinners, and on the cross, Christ became what we are. The sinless Christ. The one that the Bible says was tempted in every way we are, yet without sin, became our sin on the cross. On the cross, for our sake, the Lord Jesus Christ took all our sins and the wrath and judgment of God we deserve upon himself to remove God's wrath and judgment from all who believe in him. On the cross, he became our substitute. On the cross, he stood in our place. He became our sin, and he died for us. Christ became what we are. On Good Friday, Christ became what we are, and we shouldn't be surprised by it. We shouldn't be surprised by it, because God had been promising and foreshadowing that Christ would become what we are in various ways ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God for the first time and plunged our world into sin. Christ became what we are, but we shouldn't be surprised because when Adam and Eve first sinned, the Lord killed an animal and clothed them with the animal's skins. The animal died so that Adam and Eve wouldn't. The animal became what they were. It was the first sin-atoning animal sacrifice, but it certainly would not be the last. In fact, the Lord instituted an annual festival in Israel called the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, when an animal would become what the people were. Theologian J.V. Vesco wonderfully describes what happened on Yom Kippur. It's described in Leviticus chapter 16, but here's what Professor Vesco says to describe it. He says, on this day of days, that is the Day of Atonement, the high priest was supposed to offer a sacrificial bull on his own behalf to ensure that he was ceremonially pure and free from defilement so that he could enter the Holy of Holies and offer the necessary sacrifice on behalf of the nation. In addition to the sacrificial bull, the high priest took two goats. Two goats. That'll be important. He sacrificed one, and then he performed a hand-laying ceremony on the other. A hand-laying ceremony. Leviticus 16 says, and Aaron shall lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all their iniquities in itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. And this hand-laying ceremony, three things stand out. First, Aaron lays his hands on the head of the goat, which signifies the transfer of something. The goat was becoming what they were. Second, in this case, the high priest transferred the sins of the nation to the scapegoat, evident by the fact that he confessed Israel's sins as he laid his hands on the goat. The goat became what they were, sin. And then third, the goat bore the sins of the people and carried them outside the camp. The goat became what they were, and all their sin was removed, taken away. And this hand-laying ceremony foreshadowed a promise that became far clearer through the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 53, we read the promise of Christ who became what we are. It says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. on Good Friday, at the cross, Christ became what we are, and we shouldn't be surprised. In his great love, God had been promising and foreshadowing it for thousands of years. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. The Son of God took our rap sheet of sin upon himself, and he absorbed the judgment and wrath of God that we deserve. He is our scapegoat. All of our sins were placed on his head at Calvary. And he took them outside of the city, outside of the camp, to Golgotha, where he died on the cross, and they are removed from us forever. Christ became what we are. But that's only half of the good news that makes Good Friday so good. Christ became what we are, now secondly, that we might become what he is. That we might become what he is. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. On Good Friday upon the cross, Christ became what we are. He became our sin that we might become what he is, the righteousness of God. But I imagine you've noticed that word might. The Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross doesn't automatically make every person in the world the righteousness of God. Look again at 2 Corinthians 5:21 and notice those two key words, in him, in him. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, in Christ, through our union with him by faith, we become the righteousness of God. In him, in Christ. What an odd phrase that is, in Christ. I mean, I'm an American. I would never say I'm in George Washington, the father of our nation. But mysteriously and gloriously, when we receive and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life, we are placed into Christ. And we are declared to be what he is, not guilty and totally righteous. Theologians call this the doctrines of justification and imputation. The doctrine of justification says that we are declared not guilty and totally right with God, now and forever, not by any works of ours, but through faith in the finished work of Christ, his death and resurrection on our behalf. And as Professor Vesco says, the doctrine of imputation teaches that in the doctrine of justification, God imputes or accredits the righteousness and the suffering of Jesus to all who are in him. Christ became what we are that we might become what he is. The great reformer Martin Luther called this the great or the sweet exchange, where at the cross, our entire rap sheet of sin is put upon Christ and his perfect resume of righteousness is accounted to us. Christ became what we are on Good Friday that we might become what he is, not by our work, but by his finished work. And that's why Good Friday is just so good. The wonder of Christ becoming what we are, that we might become what he is, really comes home to my heart when I read, well, oddly enough, this will give you a window into my personality, question 60 from the Heidelberg Catechism, 1563. Stick with me. Question 60 in the Heidelberg Catechism asks, how are you right with God? There may be no more important question in all the world. Answer: only by true faith in Jesus Christ. I love this. Even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments and of never having kept any of them, and even though I'm still, as a Christian, inclined toward all evil, nevertheless, without my deserving it at all, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never sinned nor been a sinner, as if I'd been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. All I need to do is accept the gift of God with a believing heart. That's what makes Good Friday so glorious. Christ became what we are, that we might become what he is. Now, maybe you're still wondering, okay, so what's this actually look like? Well, since Christ became what we are, that we might become what he is, if you're in Christ, you are righteous. That's sort of like having an infinite line of credit in heaven. An infinite line of righteousness credit. So that if you are in Christ, though you sin grievously against God, God looks to Christ, who has given us an infinite line of credit, his righteousness. And then he looks at us and says, still not guilty. Still right with me. It's like having an infinite line of righteousness credit in heaven. If you're still wondering, wait, what exactly does this look like? Well, let's leave the line of credit and let's imagine that you are in a law court. Because you have been accused of murder, and you and the judge and the jury all know that you are guilty as charged. And right before you are about to be declared guilty and sentenced to life in prison, the judge's son offers to take your place, to take your life sentence. In the case of the gospel, death sentence. And in the sweetest exchange imaginable, not only are you declared not guilty because the judge's son took your place, the son actually adopts you, or the judge actually adopts you as his son and takes you home with him. It's the great exchange. Christ became what we are, that we might become what he is. Still wondering what it's like? Maybe let's leave the line of credit, let's leave the law court, and let's imagine that you're heading into a job interview. Imagine you're applying for a job, going in for a job interview at Amazon, and as you're about to walk into the interview and you're holding your resume, you look down and are reminded that you don't meet any of the qualifications for the job, not one. But as you're about to go in, walking down the hall, comes Jeff Bezos. He says, hey, let me see your resume. Takes it. Notices that you don't meet the qualifications to get in. And he says, hang on a second. Pulls out his resume, which meets all the qualifications. Gives it to you, and then takes yours. So that you get in not on your merits, but on his. Christ became what we are, that we might become what he is. For our sake, he made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's why we call it Good Friday. So what should we do? Christ became what we are, that we might become what he is, how should we respond? Answer, receive and rest in Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Simple answer. Christ became what we are that we might become what he is. What should we do? Receive and rest in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. If you have not yet embraced Jesus Christ as your only hope in life and in death, tonight I want to invite you to receive Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. I want to invite you to admit what you are, a sinner, and embrace him for what he is, an even greater Savior than you are a sinner. See, the bad news of Good Friday is that without Jesus Christ, you will bear the penalty of your sins. You will experience the condemnation of your sins. And before a holy God, you will be sentenced to an infinite punishment. If you carry your sins to the day of judgment, your resume, my resume, you will be declared guilty forever. And you will be lost and conscious of it. Jesus describes it as a place where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. But if you receive Jesus Christ with the empty hands of faith, nothing to offer, then you will become what he is. Declared righteous, not guilty, forgiven, and you will be given eternal life. Tonight, I want to invite you to receive Jesus Christ for the first time. And so in a moment, I'm going to give us just a minute or two of quiet reflection before the band leads us, and I'm going to invite you to receive him. But if you are already a follower of Jesus, then remember the second part of how we respond. Rest in him. Receive and rest in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Follower of Christ, you have nothing left to prove. There is no righteousness you need to earn. There is no burden of condemnation you still need to bear. Christ was condemned for you. Who's going to bring a charge against you? All of God's wrath against your sin was placed on Christ. Christ became what you are, so that you might become what he is. Lay down all that weary righteousness earning and rest in the forgiveness of sins and the eternal life that you have through the death of Christ. And rejoice. Give glory to God in all things. Christ became what we are, that we might become what he is. Father, we praise you for Jesus Christ, your Son, truly human and also truly God, who on the cross at Calvary became what we are, that we might become what he is. Father, I pray for every soul in this room that doesn't yet know Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, please draw them to yourself tonight. Give them eternal life through faith and faith alone in Christ alone tonight. Draw them, we pray. And for all who do know Christ, I pray that your word will cause us to be a people who rest in him alone for righteousness and life forever. and joy forever. Amen.